It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 332, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. Last week, we talked about what we'd give up to get BYU another national championship. This week, we go to a more realistic place and talk about the chances of BYU winning 9 football games and what they may have to do to get there. We also preview 3 of the more lackluster opponents on BYU's 2018 schedule: UMass, New Mexico State, and Hawaii. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Join the conversation with us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast service. And listen to Matt and I talk right now. So Matt, apparently there's some people that don't think we should even be thinking about what we would give up in order to get a national championship.
That's weird.
So we've discussed this before. The podcast gets published on the Deseret News on the website every week, right? And often the headline will then become a subject of discussion to the eternal flame wars between BYU and Utah fans on DeseretNews.com.
Right. You just check out the comments.
It has nothing to do with our show. Like, nobody on there is commenting on our show. They're commenting basically on the headline, right? So, similar to that, we had, and I don't know, maybe this guy does listen to the show, a BYU fan responded to the Deseret News tweet, "What would you give up to bring a BYU another national championship? The latest Rise and Shout podcast is up." And this this tweetbag guy, not tweetbag, right? But he's in the tweetbag now. He says, "How about we worry about getting back to a bowl game first?"
Oh, come on, wet towel.
I mean, who peed in your Cheerios this morning or that morning? Like, it's freaking July. What else are we supposed to talk about? Something else to talk about. Should we talk about, like, the signees to the track team? We're not going to talk about the signees to the track team, by the way.
No, I don't even know that that has happened. Did that happen recently?
It did. There was an article on BYUCougars.com that I ignored. But anyway, so later on in the show, we're going to read some of your reactions to last week's episode. So stay tuned. But last week, if you missed it, was, I actually think, one of our funnier episodes.
Sorry.
It was pretty funny. Why are you laughing?
I made the mistake of opening the comments.
Don't open the comments!
I never do this. I never do this, and I didn't even know you were going to lead in with it. And I was like, "Well, I wonder what flame wars did erupt." This is hilarious.
It's off the charts. It's off the charts. These people are taking that headline so seriously.
As if we're, like, really, like, trying to bargain with the universe that we're going to sacrifice something in order to get a national championship. These people are like, disconnected from reality. This is very strange.
It's actually hilarious.
For the people who clearly aren't even sports fans.
And here's the thing. Any mention of BYU's national championship brings out this certain breed of the University of Utah fans that basically just can't resist jumping on any of those topics and going nuts. And it also brings out a breed of BYU fan who can't not react to that reaction, right? And yes, don't read the comments on the Deseret News articles because they have nothing to do with our podcast. None of these people, you can read the articles. They clearly didn't. I mean, the comments. Almost none.
None of these people listen to the podcast.
No, they don't.
Not a single one of them.
They didn't listen to it. There has occasionally, because I read them actually every week because I'm just curious, there's occasionally one of our listeners will jump on there and say something kind of like, "Do you guys even listen to this? That's not even what they were talking about." And the headline, to be fair, I usually write the headlines. Sometimes the Deseret News will change my headline. That's their prerogative, by the way, right? And they listen to the podcast and then sometimes change what's there, which is fine. They can do that. And I don't ever actually disagree a lot. Sometimes they actually make a better headline than what I write.
Yeah, but that's typically how this works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, in newspapers, the writer typically doesn't write the headline, right? But anyway, these comments are off the charts. But I thought that Twitter one from this guy was pretty funny. Like, how about we worry about getting back to a bowl game first, Matt?
Jeez.
Guess, by the way,
down there, fella.
Guess what? I have as much influence of us getting back to a bowl game as I do to us getting another national championship, which is zero. I have zero influence. Like,
I can wear all of the superstition jerseys and do 500 push-ups a day all I want. It's not going to actually result in anything.
Yeah.
Actually, the 500 push-ups a day will result in some increased fitness.
Yes.
But it's not going to do anything for BYU unless some players do it, in which case it might
maybe,
be good for
them. Maybe. Maybe they need to give up the tofu. Anyway,
give
all right.
Up tofu? That's not. That was not on the list. I don't think.
Well, we'll talk about tofu.
All right, whatever.
In a minute.
Okay,
but before we get to
on.
That, let's go to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, Jimmer can score the basketball.
Yes, he knows how to put the basketball into the basket.
So there's something called the basketball tournament. Okay? It's a $2 million winner-take-all event being contested this summer for any players who are not on NBA rosters. Okay? All right? Jimmer Fredette. Team Fredette. There is a Team Fredette. Played the Jackson Underdogs and beat them 99-89. And he scored 30 points, 5 assists, 6 boards. They're now in the Sweet 16 of this tournament. I think the game before, because this was their second game, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he hit like a 50-foot jump shot.
It was insane.
It was insane. So Jimmer doing Jimmer things. I would love it if his team won this whole thing. I don't know what that means besides the $2 million, but it's kind of fun. So good luck to Team Fredette.
You know what's funny about it is that he's going to do this, and he could crush us and win the whole thing, and they're still not going to call him.
What, the NBA?
Yeah.
No, that ship sailed. I mean, somebody
but
may...
other guys in this tournament will get phone calls.
Yeah, but we've talked about this before. It's really hard at a certain age and a certain time out of college to break back into the NBA. It's not impossible if you've been out for a few years, but it's not very common at all, right? Just no matter what you do in other leagues or other things outside there, right? And that's true not just of the NBA, by the way. That's true of, I think, all major sports. There are exceptions, right? In baseball and football, where, you know, Kurt Warner's probably the most famous in the NFL, right? You know, spent time in the Arena League, right, as a quarterback and came back. But those are the, you know, fairy tale other stuff. So, anyway. Also, as far as professionals go, Harvey Longy, Matt, is making a comeback, as I think pretty much every BYU fan knows the story of he and his wife being in a horrific car crash last year, and it ending his season, and at the time, I think many of us thought potentially his career as an NFL player, and he and his wife have both recovered well from that, to the point where in off-season workouts, the reports are that Harvey Longy looks very healthy, but I will say this, he's still got a long road to make it to the Patriots 53-man roster, as they added a few other linebackers this year via draft or rookie free agency. And basically he's trying to become a backup to Dont'a Hightower and the other Cougar on that roster, Kyle Van Noy. But there's a couple other guys on that. But best of luck to him in that, and I hope he makes the team. But I'm just glad to see him out there rocking it.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And you know, you gotta love it when it's somebody in New England, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. And you have to also, if you haven't seen that video where he walks into a hospital room and sees his wife the first time after the accident, make sure you have the Kleenex handy, all right?
And seriously, they hadn't seen each other in like 3 days, right?
That's crazy. Yeah, because they had ended up getting taken to different hospitals because she had some pretty significant injuries. And I saw an interview with them. I think we may have even talked about that on a podcast a few weeks ago about that. And
there's a
amazing
good
story.
Interview that was done recently. I don't know if that was done by if the Patriots or somebody associated with a New England sports outlet had put that out, but it was good.
It was really good. But anyway, so good luck to Harvey Lange, and of course, good luck to the New England Patriots. All right, we love those Patriots. So Matt, let's talk football. All right,
yes.
This is where we start previewing all of our opponents. I need a little caffeine to keep me awake.
A little liquid inspiration there.
It's about to get boring. I mean, we're previewing...
Oh, you've already looked at the list of teams we're previewing?
We're previewing Hawaii, UMass, and New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Let me get a drink to go. All right, so I cheated, and I went to previews written by other people, okay? So I'm going to go through a couple of things on each team, and then at the end of that, Matt, you're going to tell me, on a scale of 0 to 10... how scared you are of this team that is not supposed to be very good beating BYU this year. Okay?
All right, let's do this.
So Hawaii, Matt, they're not good. They weren't good. And they won't be good. Do I need to say much more than that?
No.
I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time on... them. Their defense was one of the worst in the country. They have a couple of decent players that they hope are better and good. And they lost a grad transfer off of one of the worst defenses in the country. They lost potentially their best player, defensive tackle Vianney Mo'ala, who went to Utah as a grad transfer. So we'll still see him this year. Anyway,
but they won't.
They won't. They won't. Their best offensive player is wide receiver John Orsora, and their best defensive player, according to this preview in College Football News, is linebacker Jelani Tavae, and he's a senior. And I'm looking at this; they're going to be terrible, right? The over and under is 5.5 on their wins. I'm taking the under. Based on their schedule,
Matt. Yeah, this is a team. This is a team that is revamping their offense,
revamping their defense,
yeah, revamping everything. Right, a lot of new faces on the coaching staff. You know, we took their leading receiver. So
their leading defensive tackle went to Utah.
Yeah, this isn't good. It's not good for the Rainbow Warriors.
Now, to be fair, their out-of-conference schedule is not crazy hard, and the Mountain West is not crazy good, right? So, you know, you look at that and you say it's not as if they're playing a ton of really, really tough teams. They play us, they play Rice, they're on the road at Army, Duquesne. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, that's not a D1 game.
Yeah, but for them, it's they'll need it. So anyway, Matt, 0 to 10. How afraid are you that they pull a UMass on us and beat us when they shouldn't?
0.
Yeah, I'm at about the same. All right, so let's talk about New Mexico State. And this preview comes courtesy of Bill Connolly, friend of the podcast. Bill Connolly, he's been on the show before. And he previews every team in football, and it's pretty amazing. Basically, New Mexico State, let's see, let's get down to his 2017 summary. This is very exciting for the listeners.
Everybody, I love it.
Very excited. Well, forget about 2017. Let's talk about 2018. He looks at their schedule, and by the way, their schedule is really easy. They don't play the best team currently preseason projected rankings is Minnesota. We're probably the second best team on their schedule.
Yikes.
And despite that, they are projected to only win 7 games. So So take that for what you will on them. Their defense is has some good parts to it. They're pretty good against the run. Their offense, on the other hand, is they're basically just not very good. I mean, they put up some decent numbers against some bad teams last year, but you know they were still out of the you know they were 50th in passing, I think, last year. So passing is their thing. So we'll see. Matt, 0 to 10. How scared are you of New Mexico State to do something
also,
to us?
It's a 0, maybe a 1. I don't know. I mean, this is a team that's going to be
they're better than Hawaii.
2-3 at the end of September. They might be better than Hawaii, but that doesn't mean that I can't. You know, they might. Okay, so they're a 0.7. Right now, round it up to a 1. But this—I mean, these guys are going to be 2-3 at the end of September, and they're not playing anybody good.
Now, to be fair, last year their overall S&P rank, according to FootballOutsiders.com, was about the same as ours. Okay, so, but I'm still with you. I don't think they are likely to do very well. I mean, right now they're projected. Rank based on who they lost and all that stuff is 100. They're not going to be very good. All right, Matt. So the team that UMassed us last year is UMass.
Okay. That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. So last year they were 4-8, but unfortunately one of those wins came against the BYU Cougars.
Yay! Way to blow it, guys.
Way to blow it. Now that being said. They are not projected to be good this year, and they are projected to win somewhere between 5 and 6 games. We've seen what they're good at. We've seen what they can do. I'd say their defense is okay at certain things, but quite frankly is not very good. And their offense had some talent, right? Last year, but I don't know that I'm not. Are you afraid of Andrew Ford as a quarterback?
No, I should not be, and I should not be.
You should not be, but are you? Are you maybe a little afraid of him?
No, I'm not.
Okay, all right.
Well, I mean, they're bringing back a lot of starters. I understand that, right? And they did beat us.
Yep.
In Provo.
Yep. Yep.
I understand all of that, but that should not have happened. And I don't think we go in and lay an egg in this game again. I don't think the coaching staff is going to allow that to happen because we have just more talented players on the field. There's no reason you should lose to these guys this time. There were a lot of weird things going on last year, right? Unless you have all those same weird things going on when we make this trip in November up to Boston. There's no reason you lose to this team again. Yeah. I mean, if you look at their schedule, if these guys are really projected to win 5 or 6 games, there's no and only 5 or 6 games, there's no way they get to a win against us.
So think about it this way. Their best chance to get a win before October against an FBS team, okay, because they also play Duquesne. They open with them.
Duquesne's making the rounds, huh?
Yeah. Their best chance at a win is at Florida International, who's projected to be the 121st best team in the country, if best is the right word there. And they're only projected to, they only have, according to Football Outsiders, a 56% chance of winning that game.
Yikes.
Now, to be fair, they've got a 40% chance of beating us, according to this model. But I think Connolly's model is off for BYU because it's going to be weighted way too heavily on the offense that BYU had last year. But their defense was not good last year, and they're not going to be good this year. So I think this is off. I'll give this a 2, and only because they beat us last year. And it's not like this is a home game for them. There'll be as many BYU fans, if not more, at Gillette than there are UMass football fans. Okay, so don't,
yeah, that's likely true.
Yeah, don't confuse this for a home game. It's not their home stadium. It's hours away from their campus, right? This isn't a home game. And there aren't a bunch in Eastern Mass, where you and I grew up, there aren't a bunch of UMass football fans.
It's not like there are diehard UMass football fans out there.
No. Boston College football fans, yes. UMass football fans, absolutely not. So, before everybody sends us tweets, emails, whatever else, about how terrible these previews were, we're not spending a lot of time on these three teams. We will come back and have much more in-depth previews on some of the better teams on the schedule. Right. We'll spend more time doing it.
Now, I do hope the coaching staff spends more time preparing for these games than I've spent preparing for this conversation, but that's inevitably true.
You never know. You never know.
We will lose.
So, Matt Bushman was in the news he has been named to the John Mackey Award watch list. It's watch list time, Matt.
Yeah, let's get on some watch lists. Not the one where they won't let you get on the planes, but let's get on award watch lists.
So this is for the, of course, the outstanding tight end of the year. Now, before you get too excited about this watch list, they basically named somebody on almost every team in the country.
Yes, well, because they can't be wrong, right?
Like, there's 100 people on this list. Now,
I think I was on it last year.
I think you were. To be fair, Bushman is one of only, I think, 23 sophomores. So it's close. I'm being a little sarcastic, obviously, here. I actually think Bushman has, if this offense were to hum this year, if this was some like breakout, like Grimes is an offensive coaching genius, and he gets one of these quarterbacks to start slinging the ball all over the place, then I think Bushman could be a candidate at the end of the year for this. I think he's that good as a receiver. So
he just needs a quarterback.
He needs a quarterback. Well, Matt, we have our first true tweet bag question of the day.
Tweet bag.
This tweet bag question came courtesy of Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. Daniel says, hashtag Facebag. What season records would surprise you this year for BYU football? Do you think a 9-win season is possible? Matt, I decided...
Oh my gosh.
I decided it's time for a game. You ready? We're going to play a game.
Are we doing the thing?
No, we're not doing the thing. We're doing something different.
All right.
We're going to do how many games will BYU win this year, but different in that... We're going to go 1 to 12, or maybe 13, because there's going to potentially be a bowl game, right? The probability that we win at each of those. So probability we win one game, probability we win two games, up to 13. And it's got to add up to 100. So I'll keep track of you, because math is hard.
Now, wait a minute. How many wins have I said in the past they're going to have? Do you have that written down somewhere?
Yeah, I do. Let me get that out. I keep track. We got challenged a few years ago to keep track of all of our predictions, and I do now keep track of all of our predictions. All right, so you
What's my latest prediction that I reserve the right to change before the season begins?
Oh, of course you do. We will definitely be changing these multiple times.
I might even change it right now.
Yeah, you might. All right, Sorry, I'm doing a little Excel functioning.
The listeners love this.
7 wins. You have us at, is that right? 7 wins. Okay.
I have us at 7 wins. All right.
Yeah. And so you have us at 7-5 is what you have us at. Okay. All right. 7-5. I also have us at 7-5, but we don't have exactly the same games. You had us beating Northern Illinois. I had us losing, and you had us, I had us beating Utah, and you had us losing to Utah. So that's the difference in our predictions. All right. So I've set it up. I have a spreadsheet, 1 through 13, all right? And we're going to put in our percentages here, okay?
All right, I'm mostly making these up on the fly, just for record.
That's
all right.
That's what we always do on the show.
It's a fun game. It's a fun game. Let's do this.
Chance, Matt, that we win one game.
So, hold on, just to be clear, this is a percent chance that we win at least one game, or that we only win one game?
We only win one game.
Oh, the numbers I began to scratch out, let's see, they're no longer relevant. All right, that we only win one game. All right, I'm with you now. Let's do this.
We only win one game. That at the end of the year, that's our win total. 0%.
0%.
0%. All right, okay. Percent chance we only win two games.
That is not 0%.
It's not 0%. Fascinating.
I mean, statistically speaking, it's not, and neither is one game. Like, really.
Well,
but
yeah, it is.
Right, but who needs to bring math, like real math?
We're not doing real math here. Don't,
do real math.
Don't confuse this. I'm going to say 1%. 1% chance. So I have 99 percentage points left. What are you going to say?
I'm saying 5%.
5%? 5 times out of 100, we only win two games? Have you looked at our schedule?
Have you looked at our schedule?
I have. We're going to beat
all everything we have about whether or not this team, what this team has improved in and all this is complete conjecture. None of it's real yet.
We don't have to improve to win two games. We have McNeese, Hawaii, and New Mexico State. The bar is 3. The bar is 3. All right, that's fine. You can.
Oh, I see. I have Hawaii as the wild card right there.
Yeah, you don't need to. All right. Percent chance we only win 3 games. Now I'm saying 5%.
And I'm also saying 5%.
That doesn't even make sense. Okay. All right. So you're at 90 points left. I'm at 94 points left. This is fascinating. All right. 4 games.
That's tough. Ah, that's tough. 7%.
I'm going to also say 7%, which seems low. But again, you're really saying there's a, in your case, you're saying there's a 17% chance we win 4 or less, right? Right? From a cumulative standpoint. All right. 5 games. I'm saying 10.
Yeah, I was going to go with 10, but that's boring if we both say 10.
Yeah, sure.
All right,
6 games. I'm going to say 10 on here as well.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go way high on 6.
What are you going to go on?
20.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go 15. You're going to go 20. I feel like I'm doing this game wrong because I got a lot too much left. I'm going to put 40 points on 7. What are you going to do on 7?
Not quite 40. I'll do 35 on 7.
All right, 35. You have 18 points left. I have 22. 8 games. Chances they win 8 games. I'm going to say 10. 10% chance.
Yep, 10.
10, okay. You have 8 points left. I have 12. 9 games. I'm going to say 5.
I'm going to go with...
So this answers Daniel Smith's original question, by the way. It's the 9.
I'm going with 3.
3%. All right. 10 games. I'm going to go with 4% chance we win 10 games.
I'm also going with 3.
3. 11. I'm going to go with 1%.
1% as well. No, you know what?
You're going to put your 2 points left on the 11?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And then 0 for 13 and 12 for you. I'm going to put 1 on each of them. All right. So to answer Daniel's question, we both believe you think there's a 3% chance that they win 9 games. Or to put it better, you think there is a 8% chance they win 9 games or more. I think there is a 12% chance they win 9 games or more, which seems high. It's probably too high.
Really high. I think my 8 is too high. I should have put more on the 7 games.
Maybe. Maybe. Fascinating. But to answer his question, though, neither of us think there's even a... We think maybe 1 in 10 chance, or a little less, that they win 9 games. To answer
his question.
So do I think a 9-win season is possible? Yes. But I think 3 things would have to happen for that to happen. 9 games. Okay? First thing. A couple of these teams that are supposed to be really good on our schedule, or a couple of the teams that are supposed to be pretty good, some combination in there has to be worse than we think they are. That's thing number one. Okay, so the schedule ends up being a little easier than it's projected to be. Thing number two, the offense, and we've talked about this a bunch during the offseason and spring ball, the offense has to not just get better, it has to take like a massive step forward, like a top 40 offense. Okay? And the third thing they need is the defense has to be a little bit better than they were last year as well. So all those things are certainly possible. I just think, you know, and there's been lots of good studies on this, it's really hard to go from 4 wins to 9 wins, right? Like, that is a massive jump. It happens, but not very often.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, and especially when you look at the schedules here, I mean, the level of improvement you'd have to see to go to 9 wins with this schedule after what you saw on the field last year, I mean, it's massive.
Well, if we had New Mexico State's schedule, I would say 9 wins is probably shooting too low.
If we had New Mexico State's schedule, which I just closed the box looking at that, if you do anything short of going undefeated with that schedule, I mean,
no,
look at this here.
At Minnesota is a game that's not a gimme.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I pulled up New Mexico, the Lobos.
Yeah. But you look at, they open with Wyoming. They're at Minnesota, at Utah State. I mean, this is the kind of schedule people want us to go back and do, right?
I mean, this is insane. Like, your toughest, okay, so Minnesota, that's a tough game. At Utah State, that's a game that we play that we would give Utah State a chance in. But the rest of these, I mean,
UTEP,
Texas
Liberty,
State, Alcorn
Louisiana.
State, Lafayette, Louisiana, Lafayette.
Georgia Southern, Texas State.
I mean, come on.
Alcorn State. Wait a second. Do they play Liberty twice? According to FBSschedules.com, they play Liberty twice. Can you play a team twice?
I think you can do whatever you want. But that is bizarre.
I don't even know what that means.
Let's see, Liberty. Liberty's showing the same thing on their schedule.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Oh, talk about schedules that should have you go undefeated. Holy smokes.
Well, they got,
actually, that's not true. Liberty's playing at Virginia and at Auburn.
Yeah, yeah. They actually have a couple of really good teams on their schedule. But anyway.
But they're making the rounds in New Mexico. They got the Lobos and the Aggies.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. When you get a chance to travel to New Mexico,
they're playing 2 games in New Mexico 2 Saturdays in a row.
I would just stay. Yeah. Just stay in Albuquerque, not Las Cruces.
Please excuse so and so from class for these 2 weeks. They're going to be in New Mexico. That's
it's
crazy.
It's the land of enchantment, Matt. It's the land of enchantment. All right.
Well, I hope they have a great time. I hope they beat both those teams.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. So last week we talked about what we would give up for a national championship. So we're going to finish the show talking about some of the reactions that we got from listeners about that show. Okay. And of course, the first one comes from Andre Hutchins.
Yes.
Andre off of Twitter, and you can tweet at us at @BYU_RiseShout. He is @AC_Hutchins, and he says, going vegetarian for the rest of his life to be on the BYU team that wins 1 national championships is huge, he says about you, who you said you'd go vegetarian if you could be on that national championship team.
I have to be on the team.
You have to be on the team. And he says, definitely vegan is a little more complex than vegetarian. But giving up meat is a big deal. Props, clapping hand emoji, and then some other emoji. I can't tell what that is. Shaking hands. Shaking hands.
Wait a minute.
Clapping hands, shaking hands. Does that shaking mean the low-key beef is done?
No.
No.
We're not shaking hands over this and dismissing the beef just because I'm willing to perhaps become a vegetarian in a completely fictitious scenario.
So he also says, because we talked about could we do 500 push-ups, and I just said that would kill me, so I couldn't do it. But he says 500 push-ups is so great, you'd be jacked. And doesn't jacked
true.
Also mean dead? Or does it not mean that?
No, it means you'd be like muscular.
Big muscles.
Yeah.
I've never had big muscles.
But a brief period of time in my life, I knew the term jacked as like you just stole something.
Is that true?
I don't know. It was just popular the middle school I went to. Yeah. I don't know.
At the Norwell Junior High School. Yeah, that's cute.
Yes, when I was there, that's what it was called. It's been called like six different things since then.
So Sweeney had a tweet bag.
Sweeney.
At Justin D. Sweeney says, epic tweet bag. Sorry I couldn't participate. Trying to save immigrants one court hearing at a time. Sweeney is a immigration attorney, so hats off trying to help some folks out. Can we agree the alleged beef that Matt and Andre have is more like chicken or tofu now?
Hashtag tofu.
Healing wounds.
We'd have to go tofu.
But
it's a vegetarian beef now.
But is it? I think he's saying you guys are like backing off the beef. Like, not that it's just vegetarian, that you guys are being like, you're getting close to a resolution here.
Listen, we're not close to a resolution. Hutchins and I already have plenty of things in common. Okay, so having something in common,
you guys
because
don't have
I might
in
be
common.
Willing to give up meat in a completely fictitious scenario.
What do you and Andre have in common?
We both like BYU sports.
That's where it ends.
That's pretty significant.
That's
we're
where
both
it ends, right?
Humans. We're both humans.
Okay, well, you share
we
that
would both
with everybody.
Be willing to give up meat in certain scenarios.
He'd be willing to give
guidelines,
up some meat in, like, all scenarios.
His guidelines are... His guidelines are different than mine. That's fine. But in my defense, I've had periods of time, and you know this.
He
where
has
my meat
hair.
Consumption
he has great hair.
Low.
And you used to have hair.
Yes, and it was never great.
No, it was not. It was like straw. Like straw just sticking out of your head.
Is Hutchins married? I'm married.
Yes, he's married.
Yeah, Hutchins is married.
And you're married.
Hutchins does a podcast. I do a podcast.
Oh, wow, look at this.
Both graduated from BYU. He's married to AJ.
Yeah, yeah. Look at you. You guys do actually have a few things in common. Huh.
Hmm. See?
Huh.
There you go.
Look at you. You guys, maybe it's time to end this low-key beef.
No, what is this with ending the beef? What is wrong with you people? You don't just end the beef because
Healing
you settle
wounds.
Your differences and discover you actually have a lot of things in common with somebody. That doesn't make any sense at all. This isn't how the real world works.
Huh. That's interesting.
Anyway, but I'm down with calling this a tofu beef.
All right, tofu beef.
Tofu beef.
So, Matt, do you follow at all San Diego Comic-Con?
I don't intentionally, but it has ended up, it's been in my Twitter timeline a lot the past few days. Like, I don't tweet a lot, but I read me some Twitter.
Okay.
And I've been seeing a lot of this San Diego Comic-Con.
So have you seen
this
any
all
of
about?
The trailers that have been released at San Diego Comic-Con? Which it doesn't
did
really
that,
matter they're released there. Cause
that
they...
would require me to actually click on one of the things. Okay. I just read the tweet.
Shazam. Have you seen the trailer for Shazam?
I have not, but it has shown up in my timeline probably 27,000 times.
Go watch it. It looks hilarious. It's a kid that changes. It's almost like Big meets Superman. So go check it out. And it's Zachary Levi, who's funny. And then there's the Aquaman trailer as well, which actually looks like it could be a decent movie. So go check those out. I don't know why I just brought those up. I know why. I was on Andre's Twitter page, and he's a movie guy. So he had some, that's where it came from.
See, like, we don't have this? That in common. He watches way more movies than I do.
He watches way more movies than almost anybody. Like, he watches all the movies. right? He like watches everything. I don't watch nearly as many movies as Andre. Though actually, to be fair, before I had kids, I did. then I stopped watching as many movies. So anyway, well, Matt, next week, let me see if I can pull this up here for a second, what we're doing next week. We will be back. We'll be later in the week, though. I don't think the show will be posted probably till Wednesday night next week. But we are going to talk about, our big thing will be, we're going to talk about all of the quarterbacks that are in the system right now and where we think their careers are going to go. Every last quarterback who is signed on a mission, on a roster today, not high school recruits, but anybody that is currently actually in the pipeline, we're going to talk about all of them and where we think their career is going to go, including predicting once again and Matt changing his mind for the fifth time on who the starter will be against Arizona.
I can't wait to change my mind on this.
We will also preview three opponents, much more interesting. I grouped them outside of Utah. It's all of our Pac-12 opponents. We will be talking about Cal, Arizona, and Washington next week. So we will spend more time next week going through the ins and outs of those three teams than we did, of course, against these last three previews we did.
Yeah, these are actual matchups that are interesting to talk about.
Yeah, and by the way, they actually have lots of people with opinions on their team, right? As opposed to New Mexico State, where there's like only...
There's one opinion, and everybody shares.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening this week. As I said, we will be back next week. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout or email us riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Thank you for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!